On Fridays we study Nevi'im. And we're in the book of Yoshua, and we're in Perek Zayin. So we just finished a great episode of the Battle of Yericho. The Jewish people win a remarkable, stunning victory. Walls come tumbling down. Jewish people are told that they cannot rebuild it. Last week we talked about the Chiel that did rebuild it. We learned about the angel that came to Yeshua and rebuked them because they didn't learn. They were supposed to learn at night. They didn't. We made teshuvah on that. The next war was the Battle of Ai. And the Pasuk says that the Battle of Ai, Ai and Yud, didn't go as well as the Battle of Yericho. And the Pasuk tells us why. Vayim'alu b'nei Yisrael ma'al b'cherem. Because the Jewish people, they took a ma'al, they took some of the spoils from Yericho. And the Pasuk tells us it was B'nai Yisrael, so it sounds like this was a group effort. You remember Yeshua, he banned from taking the spoils of Yericho. He put a cherem on it. But B'nai Yisrael did not listen, they took from the spoils. But right away the Torah comes along and says the name of the person that took the spoils, Vayikach Achan ben Karmi, Ben Zavdi, Ben Zerah, the Matei Yehuda, Menachem. Vayichar Af Adonai beBnei Yisrael. That's it. That's today's Dirash. So the pasuk says Bnei Yisrael took from the Cherem, and then it tells it really wasn't Bnei Yisrael. It was one guy. It was a guy called Achan Ben Karmi Ben Zavdi Ben Zerah, the Matei Yehuda. And God got angry at all of the Jewish people. And here comes the subject of if one person made the sin, why is everybody accountable? So the Gemara Sanhedrin comes along on page 43, and he says, because of the law of Arvut, Kol Yisrael Arevim Ze Lazeh, that all the Jewish people are responsible for one another. That means in Judaism, when we accepted the Torah, we accepted it on two levels. We accepted it on the level first for ourselves, and then we accepted that we are guarantors for the Torah for other people as well. We guarantee our own service and we guarantee the service of others. So therefore in Judaism, there's no such thing as mind your own business. Because your business is my business. Which means, if somebody comes along and you want to borrow money, and the lender does not want to lend you the money. So I come to the lender and I say, I'll guarantee it. He says, okay, you guarantee it. Arev, I'll lend the money. Now, all of a sudden, the guy goes to the borrower. Where's my money? So I don't have it. So the lender comes to me, to the guarantor. And he says, pay me my money. I said, what do you want from me? Mind your business. Go to the... What do you mind your business? You're my business. You guaranteed it. Now I can go to you. So what are you putting into my bank account for? I'm not putting into your bank. Your bank account already is mortgaged to me. You became an arev. So therefore, the same thing in Judaism. I'm the guarantor now. So when I come to you and say, hey, pay your debts to God. So you come to me and says, mind your business. I said, mind your business. I guaranteed it for you. If you don't pay your debt, I'm going to have to pay it. You understand? In the mashal, I go back to the guy. I said, do me a favor, could you pay your debts? So, mind your business. We mind your business. I guaranteed it for you. If you don't pay your debt, I'm going to have to pay it. So your business is my business. Then it's in the Majal. So the same thing in Judaism. So when I come to you and say, you know, listen, it's Lashon Hara. Don't preach. Do my own business. I tell them, if you speak Lashon Hara, I'm on the hook also. Because I told God that I'm going to ensure that everybody else also is going to observe the religion as best as they can. So therefore, our responsibility is it's a singular responsibility that has global or whatever you call it, nation effects. It has an effect of 600,000 people. That's the famous mashal that they say. You know, the guy in the boat. The guy says on the boat he's drilling a hole in his cabin. So the guy knocks on the door and says, "What's that noise coming from your cabin?" He said, "Mind your own business. Just tell me what you're doing." "So I'm digging a hole in my cabin." I said, "Yeah, but if you dig a hole in the cabin, we all drown. So therefore, it's my business." The same thing in Judaism. The sin of one affects the neshamot of all. It's a big principle, Rabotai. That means, I mean, it's a scary thing. But now we understand what the Gemara means. When the Gemara says that in certain generations, certain rabbis were worthy to receive prophecy, like in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, but the generation wasn't worthy. And you wonder, so what do you mean the generation wasn't worthy? If the rabbi was worthy to receive a prophecy, why does the generation affect him? Because the sins of the generation, it affects all the neshamot. So even though the tzaddik is good, but the neshamot are automatically compromised because of the sins of the generation, because all the neshamot are really connected to one tree. So if the tree is getting fed not good food, all the fruits on the tree are going to get, compromised to a certain degree. So therefore, I don't want my neshamot to get compromised because of your averot. The Tomei Devorah talks about this in his first chapter when he refers to the midah called the She'irit Nahalato. And he says that God refers to the Jewish people as his relatives. He calls us his firstborn son. He calls us Ahoti, Ra'yati, Yonati, Tamati, all words that have to do with family. So he says, because the Jewish people have to emulate that midah of God, and just like God treats us like family. And therefore, when somebody is family, you give them a courtesy, because it's family, so you give them an advantage. So God says, how can I do that? They're my family. She'er basar. So he says that the Jewish people have to act the same way then, because all the Jewish people are family to each other, not only biologically. You're right, if you trace our genes back, we're probably all related to Avraham Avinu, for sure. If you look at the genes, you could probably go for $18, I think you could check your genome. So if you do that, besides your fact, you'll find some surprises, I'm sure. But most of the people who are Jewish are going to find that they will have the same Avraham Avinu. They come from Mesopotamia somewhere, 3,500 years ago. I'm not talking about the biological. We all come from the same neshama. There was one big neshama, and God divided it up into 600,000 parts. So it's a 600,000 piece puzzle. So everybody has a piece of that puzzle. And he talks of that puzzle. And that puzzle after 600,000 was cut into smaller pieces. So altogether, you take that puzzle and you put it back together, you have a picture of a neshama kilalit, a fly Israel. So everybody's connected. Parts of the whole are equal to the whole. You take a small piece of the pizza. All the ingredients in that small little dot of the pizza is the same ingredients in the big pie. So when you take a piece of the soul, it's equal to all the parts of the big soul. And everybody has that. So therefore you see a guy in, I don't know where, Uruguay. So he's Jewish. But you're connected to that guy. There's an arvut. There's a tremendous arvut. You see the arvut of Klal Yisrael is you see it manifest itself. The other day, on the 8th day of Hanukkah, the president put a reprieve and he commuted the sentence of Shalom Rabashkin, which is a good thing. I don't know what crimes he committed or what he didn't commit, but prominent people felt that the sentence was you know, more than fits the crime. Other people committed much more and got much less. And they felt that there was some type of bias in this case over here, to give 30 years for something that maybe doesn't deserve a few months. This is not my opinion. It's the opinion of senators and, you know, members of the Congress and judges and, you know, hundreds of people signed a petition to say, hey, this is something wrong here. Something is not right. So, the president, God bless him, he commuted the judgment. And all of a sudden you see people all over the world going crazy. They're dancing and they're singing in the streets and they're blocking the streets and from Toronto and the Montreal and in Israel and here and there. And most of the people never met the guy, don't know the guy, not related to the guy. You say, well, what's going on over here with Klai? Because if there's one Jew in jail, somehow we all feel connected to that. And even if we didn't dance in the street, email, oh, you got out. You know the guy? You don't know the guy, you'll never know the guy. You didn't eat his meat, he didn't give you a discount. So what are you getting excited for? You're getting excited because Koy Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh, you understand? So that's well known, that story. What's not so well known is that on that same day, which is what? I guess, was it Wednesday? I'm going to read you a story, just so you know what does it mean. Elliot, do you want to wake up for a minute? This is a good one. I think you'd enjoy it. You're here? Where are you?
Wash your hands,
exactly. So there's an abid. They put him in jail 30 years ago. They claimed that he raped somebody. On the same day they let out Rabashkin, the judge in Brooklyn said there was a mistake, he wasn't the guy, and therefore we're letting him out. They let the guy out, they showed a video of the guy walking out of jail. Three people, his mother, his lawyer, two girlfriends. They walk out, they go to the store, and they show him eating a hamburger. That's the whole thing, no dancing, no singing, no. The whole thing is three people eating a hamburger. And they're going crazy. The camera, the video, and the guy. Okay, how's the hamburger? Great. I'm waiting for this for 30 years. Now he takes a sip of the cocktail. And he drinks the. Where's the blocking of the street? Who's the guy? That's it. He's a nothing. He's a guy. He's not related to nobody. Nobody cares about him. But nobody's related to Rabashkin either. So what are they jumping around for? That's where you see Koy said Hashem made those two stories happen on the same day. So you see what does it mean? Koy said Arevim Zeh LaZeh. But not only. When it comes to that, you're Arev also on the negative side. If a Jew commits a sin, so everybody's held accountable. That's why the Arizal writes that when we make vidui, the vidui that we make is always in the plurality. Sefer Hasidim says in Siman Tafresh Aleph, Ketiv Hatanu Rasha'nu. What's it? Hatanu rasha'nu. Hatati aviti. Hatati rasha'ati. Kalal atzmo bichlal. Why do you have to say hatanu in a general way? Lefi shekod yisil arevim zeh lazeh. And the Sefer Hasidim's proof is achan. The pasuk writes that all the Jewish people are held guilty. Vayim'alu b'nei Yisrael ma'al b'cherem. All the Jewish people are held responsible because one guy took from the... Either they should have stopped him, or they should have rebuked him. Or it's possible that if Klal Yisrael was very, very mahmir on not taking things that don't belong to them, Achan wouldn't have taken. So therefore the level of the people are influenced by each other. And therefore he says we must say Teshuvah Belashon Rabim. And this is what he writes over here, and he says, "Uksheanu mitvadim, anu omrim al hatayim, sheanu chayvim alim sikila, serefa, herek, vahenek." Anybody? I have sekilah, sedeva, henek, vahenek, on Kippur. We say sekilah. Because you are hayav. Because if somebody in Klaisa was mehalel Shabbat, so koisel arvim zelazet. To a certain degree, you have to fix those sins as well. Because you're the guarantor. I mean, the guarantor has a lot of ramifications. Because I guarantee your service, the halakha says that if, let's say, I made kiddush already. I made kiddush already. Now you come in and say, Hakam, could you make kiddush for me? I can make kiddush for you. Now the next guy comes in. Hakam, could you make kiddush for me? I can make kiddush for you again. I can make kiddush up to 600,000 times. Why? Because I told God, I accept myself, and I accept to be responsible for everybody else. So until everybody else fulfills the obligation, I'm still on the hook. I don't say, no, I did my mitzvah already. I did my mitzvah already. You did your mitzvah. You're not done your mitzvah. You're not done your mitzvah till all 600,000 Jews fulfill the mitzvah. So you're not done yet. Understand? So therefore, I could read the Megillah 600,000 times on Purim. I could blow the shofar 600,000 times on Rosh Hashanah. I could go from house to house. But you blew the shofar already. I blew it for myself. I didn't blow it for you. But you're not obligated. I am obligated. That's the Hiddush. I am obligated. As long as you didn't fulfill your obligation, I'm obligated. So the same thing is just on the mitzvot side. It's on the negative side. So when a guy comes on Kippur and says, Sikila Sirek Vahenek Vahenek, it's true, the Sikila Sirek Vahenek. All those Jews that are hayab on that, you're held accountable. What are you doing to stop it? You understand? What are you doing to stop it? So then your obligation is to teach Torah to other people. You can't come along and say, listen, I'm not a preacher, I'm not anything. Or you have to pay for education. You have to pay for materials to be spread out to Klaisit. We don't live in a bubble. Judaism is not something you live in. You live in an island. Where you come along and say, hey, live and let live. Leave me alone. The Torah doesn't work like that. The Torah is not a law that gives people, you know, the freedom to close an eye. Or the freedom to overlook certain things. I would overlook it, but your guilty is going to affect me. So therefore I have a responsibility to all of Klai Yisrael. That's why when Achan makes the sin, Klai Yisrael is on the hook. That's what it means, Sherit Nahalato. It's a good question. Some want to say that the deen of Arbut maybe is only in Farhesya, because you could have seen it, you could have stopped it, but in Sina'a. But they say no, even in Sina'a could be, because if Klai Yisrael was holding on a very high level, the guy would not make the Simbit Sina'a even. The guy would not. Why does the guy talk Lashon Hara? Because the good guys are not careful so much. So the good guy's not careful. What does the regular guy say? If the good guys are not careful, we don't have to worry about this fool. So that's one of the logics why we're held accountable. It's because if our behavior would have been, you know, spectacular, it didn't inspire others. The fact that others can make sins must be that, and I always say that, you know, whenever they talk about, you know, the irreligious people, I always forget about the irreligious people. Let's talk to the religious people first. If the religious people were living according to the proper standard, a lot of irreligious people would probably be on a higher standard as well. So we scream at the religious people, go to the religious people first. And tell the religious people that they have to be careful on their level of Sini'ut. And then automatically, when the people see what a real Sini'ut is, then it'll start to trickle down to the others. Anyway, that's the story in this parasha, the story of Arvut. And now we get to the story over here. Achan, this guy Achan. Achan obviously had a desire for money. It's the only way you can explain the sin. Yeshua said, don't take from the harem. He saw all that gold in front of him, all that money in front of him, and he couldn't control himself. So he took some of the spoils for himself. That's an attraction to money, which it got him. But the Torah in this parasha, it goes out of its way to tell us who Achan is. Achan is the son of Karmi. Anybody know Karmi? Well, Karmi is the son of Zavdi. You know Zavdi? Well, Zavdi is the son of Zerah. You know Zerah? Zerah, you know already. You have to know Zerah. Ben Yehuda. Zerah is the son of Yehuda. You remember Yehuda? Sammy. Hazak Baruch. Rabotai. I cannot waste our time here to tell you the Aleph Bet. In Parashat Vayeshev, in Perek Lamed Chet, in Pasuk Chaf Chet, the Pasuk clearly tells us. That Tamar gets pregnant. Vahi be'et lita, the time she gave birth, v'inet te'omim bebitna, she had twins. Vahi be'lita, v'yiten yad. She was about to give birth. Pasuk says v'yiten yad. I'm not too sure what that means, v'yiten yad. Now she says, Hotzi a'ehad yad lahutz. One of the kids stuck his hand out. That's what's going on so far? That's an emergency? V'tikshoram yaledet. V'tikam yaledet v'tikshor al yado shani lemor ze yatsa rishona. So the miyaledet took a string out and put it on the kid's hand and said, this one came out first, v'hi kimeshiv yado, then he stuck his hand back in, v'hinei yatsa achiv, and then all of a sudden the other guy came out. V'tomen, ma paratz ta'alecha paretz? Hey, what did you bust out? V'tekreshimo peretz, so I call him peretz, bust out. Because that's what he did. The other guy stuck his hand out, he put his hand back in, the other guy came out. Hey, peretz, ma paratz ta'alecha peretz? V'tekreshimo peretz. It's good he didn't do something else. Who knows what they were called? Leon Zeh. Ve'achar yatsa achiv, and then the brother came out, asher al yado hashani, that had the red scarlet on him, ve'yikra shemo zarach. Oh, so this is the zarach. Oh, so the Torah comes along and tells me, if you want to know the story of Achan, you got to go all the way back to Zerah. When you understand the story of Zerah, that's his great 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 grandfather. You'll understand where Achan got this from. Understand what I'm telling you so far? Oh, which means that's how you learn. The pasuk is not just telling me Achan ben Karmi ben Zavdi ben Hadgadya. It's telling me the lineage to tell me, trace it back, trace it back. Comes over here on the Torah, a phenomenal Kli Yakar. A phenomenal Kli Yakar. Amazing Kli Yakar. Vayike Meshiv Yado. Arba Yadot Ketuvim Kan. Oh. It says the word Yad four times in this parasha. Let's go back. Vayi b'lita v'yiten yad. V'tikach am yaledet v'tikshor al yado. Vayi kimeshiv yado. V'har yatsay v'asher al yado. Four times Yad in the parasha. So what's the four times Yad? Keneged arba haramot shema'al achan sheyatsa mimenu. Yeshua ben Nun put four curses on anybody that takes of the spoils. And therefore, the remez over of the four yards is a remez that from this guy, Zerah, is going to come somebody that also has a yad, and his yad is going to take from the spoils that there's four haramim on them. Yeshua put four haramim on the guy who takes the spoils. So the remez in the yads is hinting to us what his great great grandson one day is going to do. So he says, Ramaz davar zekan neorot. And why are you telling me about that now, when he was born? What do we got to know about Achan now? Sheba'abur sheyatsa mimenu Achan, because Achan would come out of Zerah, al ken lo yitzlach lemelucha. That's why he cannot be the king. Ki melech b'mishpat ya'amid eretz. Ve'ish terumot yarsena. The king has to be honest. If the king has a desire for money, he could start to get bribed. And once the king gets bribed, there's no law, there's no justice. He was first, but then his hand went back in. And Peretz came out first, and the kingdom comes from Peretz. David HaMelech is the line of Peretz. From Zerach only came princes, didn't come kingdom. That already movement of the hand of Zerach, as you're going to see from the Kli Yakar, already told us of the nature of what was going on with these two children. He says, "Hine makom iti refaresh arba'a yadot elu." I'm going to explain you the four yadot over here now. Sheesh bem remez al ish chomed mamon. It's talking about a guy who loves money. Chomed mamon. Nobody over here, of course. Ve'enu niftar min ha'olam b'chatzi ta'avato b'yado. Person who has a craving for money, the Gemara says about him. What did Shlomo say? I forgot. What did he say?
Person don't die with half his desire.
Right. Kohelet. Yesh b'yado maneh mitaveh matayim. He has in his pocket 100, he wants 200. He has 200, he wants 400. So no matter what he has, he always craves double. He never has enough.
Human nature.
Rockefeller, he had billions of dollars. How much more do you need? He said, a little bit more. Which means, you always want a little bit more. No matter how much you have, you're always craving for more. That's the nature of money. V'hineh kol adam yesh lo shnei yadayim. You're not an octopus, you have two hands. Asher bem amal v'terach asikim lo'oftam v'chov v'otzim yado. Listen, you have two hands, that's as much as you can get. You can only get as much as your two hands can hold. V'im ken, kol asher pekom usag m'shtei yadav. V'im enu mistapik l'ma shechano elohim v'lo'oftam. But a guy who's not happy with his two hands filled with money, harei hu chomed od v'lo'oftam. He has two hands, he wants four hands. Oh, the haynu kedem lech arba yadayim. Kefil min ha-musag b'shtei yadav, which means whatever he have, he wants more. So whatever he's making with his two hands, he doesn't want enough. He wants to make with four hands. So therefore he comes along and says, v'chol chomed mamon eno ba'al tzedaka. If a person is loving money, he can't give tzedaka. Because tzedaka's got to give his money away. I can't look at Sahla Minuch, I cannot be a king. What was the case of David? David HaMelech used to go into the court. He used to be the judge. He would say, this man is guilty. He has to pay $1,000 to the Uven. And he would bang the gavel. End of case. Then what would he do, David? He would come to the guy and say, I know you don't have money to pay. Here's $1,000. Go pay him. He would pay for the guys. He would make him guilty, but he didn't have that money to pay. So the Gemara said, that's why David HaMelech became the king. Because he did tzedakah u'mishpat. Mishpat lazeh. U'tzedakah lazeh. In the same case, he did mishpat and tzedakah. Now, if a king has a desire for money, we're not going to take a penny out of his pocket. You're guilty, pay it yourself. Go sell your shirt. Al ken ne'emar etzel Yehuda. By Yehuda, who's the father of the tribe, Yadav Ravlo. It says Yadav, his hands, Ravlo. So it was Ravlo. Yarivulo mebeile. Yadav is two. So just say Yadav, his hands will fight for him. which means Rab over here means fighting. So you say Yadav Yarivu. It's plural. Ki Yadav Shtayim Mashma. The Rab Yashonayid Ela Shah Toralo Shaloya Chomed Mamon Shashte Yadayim. That's what he's saying. Yadav Rav. His two hands were like one. He didn't have a desire in his hands. Ela Shoralo Shaloya Chomed Mamon Shashte Yadayim Nosafim. Ki Shte Yadav Rav Lo. Yadav Ravlo, that's what he was on Yehuda. His two hands were enough for him. He didn't need two other hands. Kiravu Meshamesh Lashon Dai, that's what it means over there. Yadav Ravlo, the two hands that he had were enough. He wasn't Chomed more. Kilo Bikesh Ot Shnei Yadayim. So then he comes along and he says, about Zerah, when it comes to Zerah, this rabbi over here that was born, lo haya yadav rav lo, ela bikesh amal arba yadot. The fact that his hand kept on coming out, yadav, 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 that's telling us the nature of the child. He had a desire for wanting double. Bechamad mi she'enenu ra'uy lo. And when did it come out? In Achar. Came out in Achan. That nature came out in Achan. Al kenu shab achod yemino ki lo yeh mishpat ha-bechora. Because he's not really the bechor. If the hand comes out, that doesn't make you the bechor. The head's got to come out to make you the bechor. So therefore, put his hand back in. He wasn't able to. Ki kol melech sarik letzono ebim v'hu lav barachi ka'amur. That's the way the Kli Yakar learns. But I have over here a perush of the Maharal in Gur Aryeh. He says something incredible. Ki lo ayu elu abanim banim de alma. These children of Yehuda were not regular kids. Aval ayu banim nodu b'gezerat Hashem yitbarach. They were born in an amazing way. Yehuda went with Tamar. That was all from God to create the Mashiach. ויש בהם דברים נעלמים, big secrets in these two kids. והיה ראוי להיות מן פרץ מלכות בית דוד, ומן זרח מסד עצמו ראוי לצאת ממנו אחן שמעל בחרמות. That's what was happening here. Peretz brought kings, and Zerach brought אחן. Who took the חרם? ועניין זה דבר גדול. כי האחד שהוא פרץ, ממנו המלכות, the one that's Peretz, which is the kingdom. Shamelech Moshel lokeyach b'mishpat. The king, he could take, but he only could take what's justified to him. V'ashini gam ken lokeyach b'kowach hayad. The other one takes with his hand, even what doesn't belong to him. Ki shne banim Peretz v'zerach domim l'lebana v'hama. He says something incredible, that Maharal. He compares these two children to the sun and the moon. The sun is a king by day and the moon is a king by night. The two kings. The two kings in the heaven are who? The sun and the moon. The king is allowed to do eminent domain. The king is allowed to walk through somebody's field as long as it's justified. He has to go to a war. He needs to go to... But it has to be justified. The king cannot just take money without a justification. He cannot have what they call overreach. ולכן ישראל מונים לירח, המאור הקטון. We count to the moon. The moon has light, but the light it's contained. It's limited. וזכה פרץ להיות ממנו מלכות בית דוד. The kingdom of David is compared to the moon. That's why, if you look at the kingdom of David, the kingdom of David has 15 kings, and then all of a sudden the kingdom starts to decline, and by the time they get to the last king, Sidkiyah, who's the 29th king, they blind them, and the kingdom of David ends, like the cycle of the moon. The kingdom goes all the way up and reaches a crescendo, and then all of a sudden it starts to fall, like the moon, and then all of a sudden it disappears. אבל זרח הוא כנגד החמה. Zerach is the sun. The sun has no limits. The sun, shegam u melech. However, u poshet biyoter letochfo yoter min ha'ra'uy. The sun takes more. Ve'lachen eno in the melech. Ve'ze haya moreh ma shenatan yad latzet rishon. The reason why his hand came out first, because his hands want to grab everything. He wants to take the melucha. His hand came out first. Lefshut v'ra shen ha'ra'uy lo. That's why they call them Zerach. Because Zerach is from the Zerihat HaShemesh. He says, and as a result, Ma'al B'dalet Haramot. He went against four curses of Yeshua. He says, because the sun was created on which day? On Wednesday, on the fourth day. So therefore, all this was part of the Midah of Zerach. Haynu Shushreshubo B'tiv'o Ginone Malchut. He had the quality of kingdom in him, Zerach. Aval biyoto velo eskil etzev ezimidat et batlut. He couldn't control himself for the love of the money. So therefore, he lost it. So you see over here, the Pasuk is telling us two stories over here. The story of Achan is the story of Zerach. That already from the birth, already there was noticed that his hands are four hands. He wants more. Double. Already his hand is coming out. What are you running? Let the other guy go out first. What are you sticking your hand out first? He wants to grab everything. In Zerach, you don't see it come out so much, besides in the birth. But later on, that action of the birth of Zerach would come out in Achan and would cause, Chas v'Shalom, tremendous ramifications. Jewish people are going to die in this war, as you're going to soon see, as a result of this Me'ilah. You understanding so far? This is the second lesson. The first lesson we learn is Kol Yisrael Arevim. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. The second lesson of this parasha in the Nevi'im today is the love of money. We just finished the holiday of Hanukkah. Many of our members are aware of that, I'm sure. There's no Isru Hag on Hanukkah. There's no 9 days of Hanukkah. So the holiday ended on Wednesday. However, the Achamim say that every holiday has a lesson. And therefore, you're supposed to learn the lesson of the holiday on the holiday and then apply it to the rest of the year. Borei Olam gives us holidays, they're like a Saudah. The Saudah is supposed to carry you for a few hours to the next Saudah. So these are spiritual meals that God gives us during the year that we receive lessons, and those lessons are supposed to carry you, you know. We don't say, Hanukkah's over, that's it, shut the lights and goodbye. No, we forget everything we learned. Of course not. The lessons have to carry you until Tu B'Shvat, until Pesach, until the next item. That. What is the moral of Hanukkah? What are you supposed to come out of Hanukkah? What's the lesson? One of the Hakamim said on the Pasuk in Kohelet, Uschor et Borecha bime bachurotecha. That you have to remember God when you're young. Yeah, when you're old already, of course you remember God, because the guy sees white hair already, yeah? But he's young, he thinks it'll forever. Shlomo says, Uschor et borecha bimei bachurotecha. And the end of the Pasuk says, Ad asher lo yavou yemei hara'ah. Don't wait until the days of ra'ah come. That means the old age. Remember God when you're young. So I saw one of the Hakamim, he says beautiful. On the holidays belong to us. That's part of our benefit of being a chosen nation. But the chosen nation, you get the holidays. That's why on every holiday we say in the Amidah, Ata b'hartanu mikol ha'amim. Ata b'hartanu. And as a result, matitin lanu. With the b'hartanu comes a gift. What's the gift? Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. Understand? I just was in Chicago yesterday. So a good fellow was driving me around. So he's telling me a story. He's saying he has his family that, you know, they like to do Thanksgiving. They make a big deal out of it. And he doesn't want to make Shalom buying problems. He goes. And they get there and they have a, you know, Sa'uda, and they, whatever they do, you know, they celebrate. No problem. He goes. Now, he says, a few years ago, it's Pesach. So his brother comes to him, Pesach. Yeah, but he's not so religious, but Pesach, okay. So it's early. It's still light outside. They have to wait to start the seder till it gets dark. So the guy says, let's start already. He said, you can't start. We have to start the seder. He said, but Shabbat you start. Shabbat's there. It's Pesach. I mean, you got to start when it's Pesach. You can't start before it's Pesach. And we're not going to eat till 10 o'clock at night. When it gets dark, we can start the seder. That's the rule over there. So the guy says, this doesn't make sense. He says, listen, I'll make you a deal. He says, if you celebrate Thanksgiving next year on Wednesday, we'll do Pesach now. He says, you can't do Thanksgiving on Wednesday. Thanksgiving on Wednesday. It's a Thursday. You pay for the holiday of the Goyim that you understand you have to do on Thursday. And if a guy would do Thanksgiving on Wednesday, you'd say, oh, I mean, this is... and Magdimim Puranut. And when it comes, Agdume Puranut lo Magdimina. But when it comes to Pesach, you want to do it on a different day? You got a point. Which means, we were chosen by God, Atab Hartanu. So the Pasuk is saying, Uskor et Porecha bime Bahurotecha. Bime Bahurotecha means on the days of Atab Hartanu, remember God. Bime Bahurotecha is not Lashon. When you're young, Melashon Baharbanu, Uskoret Borecha, remember God when? Bimeh Cholotech, in the days of Atab Bahartan, which is on the Hagim. Why? Ad Asher Lo Yavo Yemeh Ra'ah. You have to remember those lessons until the day of the Ra'ah, which is after the holiday. Now you're back to the regular Yemeh Ra'ah, the regular, you know, what do you call it? The grime. Back to the. So you're supposed to remember. Zechor et borecha b'meh moratecha ad asher yavo yemeh ra'ah. You have to remember it until the days of ra'ah come. You don't forget it right after the holiday is over. You're supposed to take the b'meh b'harotech and into the rest of the year. So then what's the lesson of the Hanukkah? So I saw Brodan Sefer Menhat Yisrael. He brings a beautiful piece. He says that the law is, when you light the menorah, you light the menorah on the left side, across from the mezuzah. Right or wrong? Mezuzah is on the right, and menorah is on the left. And when you walk in with the talit, we know you have three mitzvot. So his question is over here is, what's the significance? Normally you do mitzvot on the right. So put the menorah on the right also. No, you have the mezuzah on the right. So do two things on the right. You can walk a chew gum also, which means no. The mezuzah got there first. Mezuzah, we're not telling you to move. We're going to keep you in that spot. We're just going to put a menorah there only for 8 days. So you're going to get nervous. He's not going to take your spot for 8 days, for a half hour a night, 4 hours a year. No. The mezuzah was there first. Put it on the left side. Well, what's the inyan? The halakha says regarding menorah, that how long do you light the menorah for?
Half hour.
Oh, so the Gemara doesn't say half hour. Oh, ad shetechre regel min hashuk. Until the leg disappears from the marketplace. What does that mean? Simple, without before the dirasha. In the olden days, people would be in the marketplace. So as long as there's people in the marketplace, that's when you light, so the people could see it. Once there's no more legs in the marketplace, what are you lighting for? There's nobody in the street to see it. So it's and that happened to be a half hour. They put a time to that shi'ur. But the way the Gemara said it is not in a time frame. It said, ad shetechleh regel min hashuk. So he comes along and he says something beautiful. He says, He says like this. He says the mezuzah. When you walk into your house, you see the mezuzah. What do you see on the mezuzah? You see a name of God. What name of God do you see on the mezuzah?
Shaddai.
When you walk into the house, you always see the Shem Shakai. What is it supposed to remind you of? The problem with people when they come into their house, they're never happy with what they have. They got a new furniture, we got to get a new item, we have to get the new gadget, we have to repaint, we have to read everybody. Why do we have to do that? Because the neighbor's doing it, because the other guy's doing it. And once a person starts to get involved in this over here, there's no end. And therefore, he is continuously striving for more luxury and more. He quotes a pasuk in Kohelet, which is a beautiful pasuk. The pasuk says, "Metuka shenata oved." The worker, the oved, he sleeps good. He sleeps metuka. The worker sleeps good. Imeat imarbe yochal. Whether he eats a little, whether he eats a lot. Shlomo HaMelech was telling you, the guy who's working, not too much stress. He makes a little panasai, eats a little, he goes to sleep. Metukash shenat ha'oved. However, then he finishes, says, Vasava la'ashir enenu maniach lo lishon. But the wealth of the rich man doesn't let him sleep, which means the rich man, he's always got stuff. You see him, he goes to sleep with his phone next to him. Because you got to call Hong Kong in the middle of the night, and he's got to call the buyer, the seller. So Shlomo HaMelech is telling you, listen, one thing the poor man has over the rich man, he sleeps at night, puts his head on the pillow, he falls asleep. The rich man, when he puts his head on the pillow, he's worried, what's going to be with this, what's going to be with that. That's a simple interpretation. But he explains like this, Metukash yenata oved. It's true. The sleep of the worker should be sweet. Whether he eats a little or not. However, the fact that he sees his rich neighbor doesn't let the worker sleep. You understand? It's going back on the worker. The worker, if he would just look at himself, he could fall asleep at night. But when he comes and puts his head on the pillow, his wife tells him, look at the neighbor, he's putting an extension, he's painting the house, we're living in the same jalopy, we're driving the same ugly car for how many years, we're doing all that. So what are you looking at the neighbor for? The richness of the neighbor steals the sleep of the oved, who he would have had it, because he has the jealousy. So the Hakamim was so smart, they said, you know what, you have to be satisfied, like it says, Ezu Ashira Sameh Berko, you have to be satisfied with what you have. God has many names. One of the names of God that represent satisfying is what? Shaddai. What does the Shakai mean? She'amar le'olamo dai. Shakai represents enough. It's enough. So that Hashem was so every time a Jew walks into his house, he's going to see his old dining room table. He's going to see the broken chairs in a second. He's going to see the papers ripped. He's going to see that this machine doesn't work, and this thing is broken, and this thing has a nick on. He's about to go in there. He looks at the mezuzah, die. Be happy with what you have. Don't start looking at the other guy, what he has, and the china's chipped, and the silverware's all bent. Die. You have these things, Baruch Hashem, because then it never ends. Therefore, the mezuzah is to remind the guy, Adkan, don't. Start being jealous and being hungry, too hungry. Oh. So the Hadush Harim says something incredible. He says, everything okay? What did they say?
It's all good.
It's all good. Okay, good. Make sure. You also on the Hatzalah now?
No.
So now you have to put up with all these guys that are beeping all day long. Now you're also going to join them?
A little business.
A little business during the class. No, it doesn't bother me. So now, Hadushi Arim writes like this. ולכאורה מדוע גם נר חנוכה אינו בימים? ותירץ החדושי הערים שאומנם גם נר חנוכה הוא מימים. He comes along and says the Hanukkah is on the right side. It's on the right side on the way out. What is on the... What does it mean? Because you know what the menorah is coming to teach you? He says, "Ad shetichle regel min hashuk." Don't put both your feet in the marketplace. You have to be in the marketplace. Ad shetichle regel min hashuk. Take one regel out of the market and put that regel in the Beit HaMidrash. But when a guy is full body in the marketplace, so he's engrossed. Like we're talking about the hands of Zerah. It's not two hands he has. He has four hands in the marketplace. He's never happy. The lesson of the menorah, which the menorah represents Torah, the reason why the rabbis gave us that language, that the purpose of the menorah is to remind you, take one regel out of the shuk. And that you need to remember when you're leaving the house. When you're leaving the house to go to work, then what's on your right side? The menorah. The menorah then reminds you, achitech regel min hashuk. Don't stick your both feet in the quicksand of the marketplace, because you'll never get out. There'll be a workaholic. When you come back into the house, then you say, "Dai, whatever you have in the house." So you're always being covered by a musar. Wow. One is on the way in, and one is on the way out. So that answers our question. We're not Chas v'Shalom giving the menorah a bad position. He comes along and he says. That that's what the Gemara Shabbat means when it says, "Haragil baner, habile banim tamidei hachamim." Gemara says, "Haragil baner." The guy is accustomed to lighting ner; he'll have children that are tamidei hachamim. We take it face value. But she says, "Ner Hanukkah and ner Shabbat. If you're careful to light the nerot, you'll have children that are tamidei hachamim." Simple interpretation. Ner mitzvah v'toraor, but. Is there a logic to it? Because I like candles. I've turned on the Midrash Chamim. Haragil baner. What does haragil baner mean? Haragil meaning you accustom yourself in the lesson of the ner. What's the lesson of the ner? Ad shetech regel min hashuk. So when a child sees the father, he's not a workaholic. He takes his leg out of the marketplace and comes to the Beit Midrash. Son comes on Friday morning. He sees his father sitting in the yeshiva at 10 o'clock in the morning. He said, "Daddy, It's a short day. How come you're not going to work?" "I go to work, but I don't have 2 feet in the work. One foot's in the Beit Midrash, one foot's in the work." The child sees his father in the Beit Midrash, one leg in the Beit Midrash. What does that do? It teaches the child by example that Midrash is a priority. All of a sudden, he sees the father come home. Where's he going? He has 1 foot out the door, as they say. "Where you go? You just came home, Daddy. I'm running to the Beit Midrash." So unbelievable. My father has always 1 foot in the office, 1 foot in the Beit Midrash. And sometimes in the office, he has the Midrash in the office as well. That he's not regil. That means haragil bener. You're accustomed in the musar of the ner. Of course your children will be tamid hachamim. Your children don't make it because they see the father is not engrossed in his work. That's the musar of the Hanukkah. You understand what we're saying over here? Ashkenazim, our brethren, they, when they get married, they write what's called tenaim, conditions. You know, what this one's going to give this, and this one's going to give that, and they're going to order, they break a plate, they have all custom over there. And in the shidduchim that they write, in the tenaim, they have the following statement that they say, Ve'al ya'alimu, lo ze mizu velo zu mize. The Hatan and Kala are not going to hide themselves from each other. I mean, they're not going to deny each other. Not him from her and not her from him. So he quotes over here from Rabbi Shmuel Eliyahu Mizulim, one of the Hasidim. He says, what is this language? Va'al ya'alimu lo ze mizu velo zu mize. He says, it's mezuzah twice. Ze mizu is otiot mezuzah. Velo zu mize. It's also mezuzah. They mentioned mezuzah twice in the Tanaim. Because they're telling the couple, you're about to build a Jewish home. And the nation, now you're getting all your gifts, and you're getting all your stuff, and you're building it. But they're saying, don't forget, they're telling both the Hatam v'Kala, don't forget the mezuzah. What's the mezuzah? She'amar le'olamo dai. You're going to get your gifts. Don't start comparing. Oh, your sister got a different blender, and he got more, and she got a different item, and I only got one, and she got... Don't start comparing, because then you'll never sleep at night. Because then you always think that you can get more, and you always think you're going to have something else. Whatever Borei Olam gave you, that's from Borei Olam. So they remind the couple in the Tanaim, because the Tanaim talks about the divvy of the money. You're getting this, we're going to give you this, and then they come and say, Velo ya'al ya'alimu lo ze mizu, velo ze mizu. Bet pa'amim otiyot mezuzah. Leramez al anal. And that's the inyan of that. And that's part of what we learned from Achan over here today. Problem with Achan is, not only did he have regel b'shuk, he had raglav v'yadav b'shuk. He had 2 feet in the shuk and 4 hands. He was in the shuk taking everything. And therefore, the story of the Navi over here is to remind us the beware of the excesses. And that's why the halakha says by Nerot Chanukah, Asur leharzot ma'ot neged Ner Chanukah. It's forbidden to count money by the light of the Ner Chanukah. What do you mean, Asur to light? Asur do anything by the Ner Chanukah. You can't read a book by the Ner Chanukah also, by the way. Guy sits by the Ner Chanukah and wants to read the Charles Dickens' Tale of Two Cities. It's Asur. Even not by the menorah, but let's assume by the menorah for a second. Small print they have over there. You cannot. Asur l'shtamesh. En lanu shut l'shtamesh. So why is the Gemara giving lashon? You can't count money. I have a stack of $100 bills. I want to go to the menorah to count them to see the coins, to see if they're real or not. You can't. You cannot see if they count them. Don't look at the money. Why do you give that example? Because the whole purpose of the Hanukkah of the Ner is what? They're trying to get you out of the shuk. Now you're bringing the shuk to the menorah. They're trying to pull you away from the shuk. Now you want to count your money? Go upstairs in your bedroom, count your money. Don't go to the menorah. That's you're putting mamash the opposite item what it represents. This is you bring the shuk to the menorah. Not only for the halakhic, the hashkafic reason, also as an application as well. That's the Navi. We'll say one quick word on the parasha as well. The parasha is parashat Vayigash. There's not too much in this parasha. Yosef reveals himself to the brothers. And he tells the brothers to go pick up his father, Yaakov, their father, and bring him down. I'm in Parashat Vayigash Perek Memheh, I'm in Pasuk Chav Gimal. I'm struggling with this Pasuk all week long, Rabotai. Ul Aviv Shalach Kezot Asara Hamorim. So he sends his father 10 donkeys. Nus'im mituv Mitzrayim. They're filled, laden with all the goodies of Egypt. I don't have a problem with that. My problem is the word kezot. It should say, ulaviv shalah asara hamurim nus'im mituv Mitzrayim. What does it mean? Ulaviv shalah kezot. What does kezot mean? Okay, so again, I read the pasuk. At his father, he sent like this. Like this what? Asara hamurim nus'im mituv Mitzrayim. Leave the like this.
Not like, okay.
This is what he sent. Like this. I gave him like this $100. I gave him $100. I gave him like this $100. Again, this is a Torah. They're not getting paid by the letter. The New York Times, they add words because the guy who writes the article, they pay him by the word. So the more words he writes, the more he gets paid. So they make extra words. Understand what I just told you? If he got 1,500 words, it's 1,500 words, you get 10 cents a word. But the Torah, on the contrary, they pay you for less words. If you can write it with less words, you get paid more. That's the bonus. Write it with less words, you get paid extra. So if there's a word over there, that means it had to be written. It had to be written because the Torah is not going to write a word, lose money. Understand what I'm telling you or no?
Yeah.
So what this word kazot? Understand what I'm asking you? So I said that she's going to help me out. She's going to help me out. Shalach kazot, this is Rashi. Kahishbon hazeh. Like this hashbon, like this number. Umawa hashbon, asara hamurim. makes it worse. Shalach kazot. Yosef sent kazot. What's kazot? Kahashbon hazeh. Like this number. Then he says, umahu hashbon. And what's the number? Asara hamurim. What's he want for the shi over there? Any chiddush from the shi here, by the way? He says, kazot is going on the number. Ulaviv shalach kazot. Kahashbon hazeh. Which hashbon? What's the hashbon? Asara hamurim. So again, leave the kazot. Rashi is trying to fix something here, but he only makes it more problematic. See what I'm saying over here? Shalach kazot again. Kahashbon hazeh. He sent like this calculation. Umawa hashbon, and what's the calculation? Asara hamurim. So basically, he said asara hamurim. Kazot, kahashbon, azot, umawa hashbon. Wow, a lot of words. Umawa hashbon. Wow. So put the she on the side for a sec, because this is the pshat. But sometimes it's easy to go to the dirash, to the pshat, because the pshat, we never struggle with the pshat. Although we have to figure out this pshat. No time to figure out the pshat. We have to figure it out one day. Some want to say that the kizot is like this. Ul aviv shalach kizot asara hamorim nosim mituv Mitzrayim. He didn't send them 10 donkeys. He sent them the weight of food that 10 donkeys can hold.
The equivalent.
Aha. So Shalach kezot, the equivalent of asara hamorim nosim mituv Mitzrayim. But he didn't send them 10 donkeys. He sent them, if each donkey can fit 100 pounds, so he sent them 1,000 pounds of goods. How did he send it? Oh, no, in a wagon. I don't know how he sent it. UPS.
FedEx.
You like FedEx better or FedEx better? So that's a nice shot. Shalach kezot, the equivalent. But that's not Rashi. Can't say that in Rashi, because Rashi says umawa hashbon asara hamurim. He doesn't say the weight of asara hamurim.
He said actual
hamurim. So that doesn't work. I'll tell you what the Maharal said. Maharal's incredible. Maharal is an incredible Maharal. The Maharal is an incredible Maharal. He says, you know, everything's been Hashamayim. Chutz me'ir Hashamayim. He's not saying wrong. There was no reason, but it doesn't fit into what we're saying, but it is. Everything is B'nai Shamayim. And you have to believe that a lot of the things are B'nai Shamayim. Everything is B'nai Shamayim. Even the stuff that seems difficult to comprehend, it's also part of the B'nai Shamayim. You know, this story over here now is going to come to a head. Yaakov Avinu suffering for 22 years. Yeah. The Shekhinah did not rest with him for 22 years, Rabotai. You understand what's going on? And he thinks, he doesn't know what's going on with his son. Is he alive? Is he dead? Last week we said he was confused. He had premonitions that he might be alive, but he's not sure he's alive. He refuses to be consoled. It's almost a depression, we would call it, for 22 years, that's a short time. And all of a sudden now, Yosef is alive. If Yosef is alive, so now what happened? You know, there's different opinions. If Yaakov finds out the truth, that means the brothers did this. They sold them. You brought back a ketonet pasim that was bloodstained, but it wasn't the blood of Yosef. So this was a scheme, a scam. You scammed your father for 22 years. You knew he was alive. You sent him. And even if not, but Yaakov could start the question. So he was alive all these 22 years. So what happened over here? Yosef is concerned about, you know, the revelation of Yosef to the father could cause Yaakov Avinu to have claims against the brothers as well now. What are you doing? What did you do here to me? Yosef wants to make it very clear that this was all part of the Hashkaha Hashem, that the brothers had no idea what they were doing. Whatever they would think they were doing, they had no idea what they were doing. They were thinking to kill, but actually they were just moving the divine providence to make Yosef the king of Egypt, to bring the Jewish people down to fulfill the prophecy of Avraham Avinu. Again, they didn't know that. When the brothers threw him in the pit, they didn't say, oh, this was part of the divine prophecy of Kigeri Yezaracha Beres Olehem. But who cares if they knew it or not? Shekhinah knew exactly what it was doing. Yaakov Avinu is going to get a message from Yosef and says, the brothers might not have known what they were doing, but it doesn't matter. Whether they knew or not, the job got done. All's well that ends well. I'm the king of Egypt now. Baruch Hashem, I'm still spiritually sound. You're going to come down in a red carpet, because you'd have to come down anyway. So, don't hold their brothers to responsible. You know what they're like? When you put a load on a donkey, does the donkey have any idea what's on its back? Does he know if he's carrying gold, if he's carrying silver, if he's carrying wax, or he's carrying fat, or he's carrying... does he know anything?
No.
He has no idea what he's carrying. All he knows is there's a load on its back and he's moving the... So Yaakov Avinu gets a message. Ul Aviv Shalach Kezot. He says, the brothers are like this. Asarah Hamorim Nosim Metuv Mitzrayim. And they have no idea that there's two Mitzrayim on their back.
Wow.
The brothers are Kezot. They were carrying... They listen to what it said. Don't get bogged down now by the side point. Now you wake up all of a sudden... The Pasuk is saying over here, Ul Aviv, he sent them a message. Kizot, the brothers are like this. What are they like? They're like Asara Hamorim Nosim Metuv Mitzrayim. Does the Hamor know if he has on his back Tuv Mitzrayim or Rat Mitzrayim? You know what he's doing? He doesn't know if he's carrying a rare breed of wine or he's carrying a kid and grape juice on it. He doesn't know what he's carrying on his back. All he knows is he's carrying. The brothers were the same thing. They didn't know what they were doing. They were carrying Tuv Mitzrayim. They were carrying something very special. But they didn't know what they were carrying. Therefore, don't hold the brothers responsible. The kizot is to explain to Yaakov Yosef's perspective of what happened here.
That's great.
That's a ma'aral. That's a strong ma'aral. The kizot is the perspective. Listen, everything is from a kadosh. The hashkaha was in play, like you always say, Sam. The hashkaha is in play. Yeah, let's see where it ends. They were like puppets that were being guided by the hashkaha Yona. Good. Ma'aral helps us, but doesn't help us in Nashi. We're not going to have time to fix Nashi here today, Rabotai. I'm telling you now. We spent a lot of time on it. Look at the next Nashi, but we'll have time for this one. Mituv Mitzrayim. He sends him from Tuv Mitzrayim. Tzinu b'Talmud, as he says, Shalach lo yayin yashan. He sent them old wine. Send them old wine. Midrash Agada, second interpretation, Girisin shel ful. Egyptian. So either he sent them old wine, or that she gives another interpretation, he sent them not ful, Girisin shel ful.
What's Girisin?
That's a good question. Either he sent them some sort of bean, the ful bean, or he sent them old wine, or he sent them both. For some reason, both, that she brings both, because obviously there's a problem with Yayin, so he has to say fool, there's a problem with fool, says it. We're not going into why does she have to give two interpretations. But I saw from the Babbage Rebbe on this Rashi, amazing Hiddush, she says. Amazing Hiddush. First, I'll explain you the fool. Girisin shel ful. He's sending his father again. Yaakov needs ful and demas. That's what he needs. Yaakov doesn't. That's all he needs is the beans of Egypt. Yaakov Sadiq, what do they need the beans of Egypt for? So again, he's sending his father perspective. He said, Daddy, Girisin shel ful is cracked beans. The ful bean is a bean. But Girisin, the Gemara says, they split the bean. It's split beans. And that's the shevach of the bean. When you eat it split, a split pea. When they split it, that's the way they eat it. Girisin, not ful. Girisin shel ful, the Rebbe says. So he says, so you see sometimes when you split something, it's the shevach. He says, therefore the division of our family for 22 years is like Girisin shel ful. It's a good thing. It came out good. He's sending him not stam, it's not a gift basket, 1-800 gift basket for the holidays. These are messages, and Yaakov Aminu understands the nuance. So we have the tzaddik. The tzaddik can speak in remez, and they get all the nuances. Girisin shel ful, he understands. You're right, this is something that's split, but because it's split, it's better. He's saying the division of our family, it looks like a terrible thing. But ultimately, it was the will of Hashem to split us up for a greater cause. So that's in line with the Maharal. Ulaviv shalach kazot. So just like this Hamorim, so too it's it's Girisin shel ful. But then the Rebbe says a big hadush. And he says, but what's the old wine? So he says, hold it. He says, obviously he's not sending his father Egyptian wine. They're not going to drink Nesech. You're not sending him, what do you call those brands? Don Perrier? Don Perrier. You're not sending him that.
Champagne.
So you're not sending him, that's what Giffen. Champagne is Giffen. You're not sending him wine of the Goyim. So it must have been kosher wine. And there's no kosher wine stores in Egypt. There are no Jews in Egypt. The only Jew in Egypt that's able to make kosher wine is Yosef. Yosef and his kids. That's it. Now, if Yosef is making the wine today for his father, it's not Yain Yashan.
No.
Yain Yashan's got to be aged wine. Now hold it. We know that Yosef did not drink wine in Egypt. The Pasuk says that day when they opened up the bottle of wine, it says all the time that he was separated from his brothers, he didn't drink wine. So it's not like Yosef was making wine in Egypt for himself. So where did he get this bottle of old wine from? You know what he says? The Rebbe says that when Yosef went down to Egypt after he was thrown into a pit, and after he was sold into Potiphar's house, and his life was in the load, he's in the prison, the worst things, he said, you know what? One day I'm going to get out of this, I'm going to make a l'chaim. So he made wine, and he corked the wine, and he bottled the wine, and he says, this was the wine of Bitachon. That Yosef already was anticipating, when is the day that this tzad is going to pass? And we're going to break out. He says, it was a 30-year-old bottle. This was a 22-year-old bottle. The day he came down to Egypt, the first thing he did is he made wine. What are you making wine for? For the L'chaim. L'chaim what? you have bits of snakes and scorpions. You have jail sentence. You have... to break out on what? He said, you'll see, one day we're going to make a L'chaim on this wine. So he was telling his father, Shalach Yain Yashan, this wine is for when I came down, which is a had betachon, that it's going to... That's the musar that everybody has to have. That even when they go through the difficult times, go buy a bottle of wine. They said Rabashkin did the same thing. He bought a bottle of wine when they put him in the jail. One day, when they let me out, we'll crack open the bottle. Baruch Hashem, he's able to crack open the bottle. See, you see, that's the... So the two lessons are Yain Yashan. It's old wine. Where are you going to get old wine? Unless he made it when he came. He made it when he came. No, he didn't drink it. He didn't drink wine, so it wasn't for pleasure. He was making it on the future. Now, if you were there, you'd tell him, Yosef, don't waste your time. You're never drinking this wine. You're never getting out of here. This wine over here is going to be drinking by the Nazis. They're not going to let you drink this. Oh, you'll see one day. And therefore, he breaks out the bottle. And he sends it to his father. He said, Daddy, I'm ready to crack this bottle open for 22 years. So that explains the Maral of Kizot. That explains the fool, Girisin Shel Fool, and that explains the Yayin Yashan. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen. 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 Amen.